This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing Steve Dace's false claims of YouTube censorship. Now, what's interesting is not that these claims are simply false, but that Steve Dace is wielding some clout here by getting 16 Republican attorney generals to sign on to his letter demanding answers and stuff like that. So I think this is a very fascinating case because it's a little bit of inside baseball with how YouTube works. It's a little bit of, you know, evangelical news with Steve Dace as a major player in conservative ink and evangelical politics, as well as, you know, the 2026 elections and stuff like that that's going on. It's kind of conversions of three different things going on. And I think it all ties together. I think it all flows together, but I do think the main claim of Steve Dace is incorrect. He is not being censored on YouTube, and I believe I can prove that as well. So that's what we're going to do in today's video. But first, I want you to know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over a Patreon-like system that is linked in the description below. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, the podcast, if you are new. Now, I used to watch Steve Dace a lot, just a matter of fact. I used to watch him a lot, but I don't anymore because he kind of went woke and, you know, he went woke for the Jews and stuff like that. And now he's claiming that YouTube is censoring him, but I do not think that is the case. So he sent out this letter. It was reported by the Iowa Standard, which, you know, Steve Dace based in Iowa, and you know, that it was published by, as you know, this is an article that's disguised as a press release disguised as an article. You know, a couple liners from it. It's between 2020 and 2022, YouTube removed at least four episodes of the Steve Dace show. So only four, because of COVID and the 2020 election. So he only got four episodes removed, which, you know, some might say that's rookie numbers for the type of content that he was creating. Other people got banned, outright banned from YouTube during its era of censorship. We have to understand that there's like multiple eras of YouTube here. You have pre-2019, maybe even pre-2015, like before corporate America saw that YouTube was a legitimate platform. But, you know, then you got, you know, pre-2019, that's kind of where the, you know, algorithm, you could really grow a channel on YouTube. You can't really grow a channel on YouTube nearly as much today, but back before 2019, you really could. And then you have the era of censorship. This is when Susan Wojcicki, who's a Jew, by the way, really cracked down on right-wing voices on YouTube. She, you know, brought the hammer down, and that's what this was. Then she left YouTube. I think she subsequently died, but she left YouTube, and then there was less censorship after she left. YouTube has not only relaxed its censorship a bit, I would actually say substantially compared to what it was in 2021. 2021 was probably the height, but now things that they banned in 2021, they no longer ban. So they've actually rolled it back. They've loosened monetization requirements, but they've, you know, probably reduced the ad rates, but they've loosened monetization requirements. You know, you could not talk about abortion, stuff like that, and be monetized. Now you can. So there's certain things that YouTube's actually relaxed its censorship since, we'll say, 2022, because that's the period ending here. So that is the era in which we're in now. And this was done by First Liberty, which I don't believe is a sponsor of Steve Dace's show, but I kind of think it is the case. But if we look, this is the letterhead. Ken Paxton is leading the charge here. And if you know a thing about Ken Paxton, Steve Dace's good friend Chip Roy, who's running for Ken Paxton's current seat, which is the Attorney General of Texas, hates Ken Paxton. Chip Roy does not like Ken Paxton and opposed him and stuff like that. Ken Paxton, to his credit, is running for Senate and looks like he's doing a pretty good job. He is leading in this poll by 2% against a sitting incumbent. Now, ousting an incumbent senator is like impossible. Very, 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 very rare to do a primary ousting of a sitting senator because the boomer vote loves incumbents. And, you know, they vote, you know, 92% of incumbents stay in. But that number is even higher when it comes to U.S. senators and stuff like that. Especially when it comes to incumbents in primaries. Like, the rate is like 99, I would imagine. They just do not get primaried out. So Ken Paxton's actually going to do something that's pretty wild here. And I think he signs on to this letter not because of the facts of the case, but because he is, trying to play his cards right in this election, not get any negative press from Steve Dace and stuff like that. So there are five channels listed in this letter. Steve Dace has two of these channels. Then we have Blaze TV, Daily Wire, and CPAC Plus. So let's go through these channels. The first one is Steve Dace's current channel. Let's actually skip this one and come back to it after we touch on Steve Dace's old channel, which had 52,000 subs and has not posted it in over a year. So they've not posted in over a year, September of 2024. So they've not posted it in almost a year and a half. And the metrics of the channel are not bad. They are posting hour and a half long content. They're not doing any clips or any short form content as kind of onboarding content. Yet nonetheless, the metric that I use for YouTube, so he has 52,100 subs on this channel. So the metric I would use to gauge a successful video is if there's 5,200 views. And if you look at these videos, just do a last 10, success, failure, success, success, failure, success. So I counted, what, three failures? So 70% of his videos are successful, despite the fact that they're all an hour and a half long. This, I would not say that this channel is being censored. I would actually say this channel is actually doing considerably well, considering it's not optimized in how it's being managed. There are really two strategies to how people do YouTube these days. One is you flood the zone. That's like, you do your main show, and then you just do clip. A lot of channels do that. Let me give a non-political example. Pat McAfee does that, for instance. You know, that's his thing. There's a main show, and then segments are posted, and you just flood the zone. And there's a couple other channels that just do that. They create a lot of different videos. Then there's the opposite end, where you just like what I do, which is I just create one video, one live stream. So I just do a consistent flow of content. And, you know, there's an audience built into that. So that's the other extreme of the two. In my view, those are the two successful ways to do YouTube. And Steve Dace is doing what I'm doing, albeit with much longer content, but he's actually pretty successful in his old channel that he abandoned because he felt like it was getting censored. I do not believe that it is getting censored based on the metrics of this channel. Now, this is the new channel, which only has 21,300 subs. Now, this channel is a little harder to gauge whether it is successful or not. So again, using that 10% metric, only needs 2,100 views for a successful video. And going through the last 10, all of them are successful. So all of the videos here are successful. However, it's hard to tell, but they are double playing on Blaze TV and their YouTube channel, but I don't see them on Blaze. So these are these aren't live streamed, but what's interesting is they are on Blaze TV as well, which is a much larger channel with 2.2 million subs. Now, going back to Steve Dace, this channel, as far as I can tell, is doing pretty well otherwise. I don't know where the views are coming from, whether it's Blaze or Steve Dace's channel, but I do think that this channel is actually a lot better optimized from a content standpoint. At least it was. Looking at the home, they had more clip videos. But yeah, again, long form content like this. And just as a side note, I don't think doing long form content like this is conducive to building a channel. I think Steve Dace is someone that's successfully migrated his audience to YouTube. Like, he successfully got his audience to buy into YouTube. Okay, yeah. But he has not grown an audience on YouTube. So there's two distinct things. He's brought his existing audience onto YouTube, but he's not grown that. He's not grown within the YouTube algorithm all that much. And I think that's the frustration that Steve Dace is having. Not that he is getting censored, but that the way that the YouTube algorithm works is not conducive to him growing his channel, because he's doing long form hour and a half videos, which are not conducive to growing a channel. That is a hard sell to get someone to just click play, listen all the way through and hit subscribe. That is more difficult, you know, than a lot of other things you could do. It also doesn't help being a Christian Zionist on YouTube, which is, again, Zionism on YouTube does not play well, because it just, you know, I've seen the comment sections across multiple channels. Like, it's not just X where people are noticing, it's also YouTube as well. So yeah, that's not going for him either. So when you play Israeli first games, and I think he has a trip to Israel coming up, that does appear to be paid. It does appear to be paid. I can't verify that up front, but he did announce a trip that was postponed to May. And Israel is in the business of paying for people's trips. I'm surprised he hasn't had it sooner. But anyway, let's move on to the Blaze. Blaze TV, they are doing all sorts of content. They are flooding the zone in terms of videos. And if you're one of those 2.2 million subscribers, you don't have time to watch every single one of these videos that they post in a single day. It could be six videos in a day, could be eight. So there's a lot, it could only be two or three, but there's a lot of videos, and they're also cross-promoted across multiple channels, like John Doyle. John Doyle, I think his views would probably be higher if he was not cross-promoting him on the Blaze. That's just my opinion. I don't know about some of these others, like Jason Whitlock. Again, someone who does a little bit of both. You know, he has his regular show, but then he does some clips and stuff like that. Doesn't entirely flood the zone, but does, you know, a little bit of a hybrid between that. And he runs a very successful channel. So, is the Blaze being censored? I think the answer is no, because people on YouTube follow the personalities. They follow the people. They don't follow the institution on YouTube. YouTube's not really about interacting with the institution, which is Blaze TV. That's not how YouTube works. And I don't think Blaze TV is being censored, because they're using other people's content. They're promoting other people's content, but it's not what people are here for. So my opinion is Blaze is not being censored. Their content's just not conducive to building a large YouTube channel, because it's too much. It's too many, and it's all different directions. It's not being censored. Daily Wire is also the same thing, except Daily Wire is not a destination. It's a channel that's hardly used by the Daily Wire itself. So they do a couple live streams a few live streams a month, and then they do some video. They do a few videos a month as well. So this is not a channel that they're overly utilizing. Only has 161,000 subs. I don't think this is getting censored. It's just not it's not that active of a channel. And Daily Wire is clearly using other avenues to promote their content, like buying views. CPAC, this one's the saddest claim of all. This is a conference, so they matter when their conference matters, but CPAC has not mattered. And it's pretty embarrassing that, like, all of their recent videos from I guess what's the recent CPAC conference, they got very few views, even with Trump on the thumbnail, giving the impression that he's the one speaking. I don't know if he is or not, but it is amazing how bad CPAC is doing on YouTube. I think that's pretty hilarious. I don't know about you, but going back to Steve Dace, I don't think he's being censored. I just think that what he's doing on YouTube is not conducive to growing a channel. So those are my thoughts. And let me know what you think about what I think. Stay base, Christ is king, and we will catch you on the next one.